In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. Not the most sort of enlightening thing you want to hear on a Sunday morning in September, but in the light of that, just to say for our Harvest charity, we will be supporting the leprosy mission. And in a few weeks' time, we'll be having a speaker from the leprosy mission, a very important, wonderful work that's gone on for decades, if not centuries, the work of the leprosy mission. So today, if you haven't come prepared to support the Harvest charity, this is the first time we've announced it, please do so. Put your gift in here and we can reclaim the gift aid on it. In our reading from the Gospel, it teaches us that Scripture is sufficient. Abraham says, let them listen to Moses and the prophets. If they don't listen to them, then what can they do? So a reminder today, our readings were long from the Scripture. But we need to take the voice of God in Scripture very seriously. So, for example, I used to be part of a church where everybody who came to church, virtually everybody, would bring their Bibles with them. And the reason they would bring their Bibles with them is because they'd been reading the Scripture during the course of the week. And this was a continuing part of the story. You see, because they wanted the Scripture, like Abraham said to this rich man, they wanted the Scripture to inform their life. Scripture is sufficient. It's God's word and revelation to you. So first of all, I challenge you week by week, so I forgive you for this, but when is the Scripture open in your home? I know of somebody who was a senior position in the Anglican Church in office, like a warden. And the vicar went to this person's house and said, can we get the Bible and just have a time of prayer? She didn't have a Bible. Rather oddly enough, she reached up to find it and she had the Book of Mormon on her shelves, but no Bible. We wonder sometimes why our life doesn't bring contentment, like Timothy talks about godliness, and with contentment is great gain, that lovely scripture that you will know, hopefully, godliness with contentment is great gain. The reason that we don't know contentment is that we haven't pursued godliness. The scripture isn't really part of us. It's still on the shelf, if it is on the shelf. I went to a farewell meeting a week ago now with Kemi and Barbara and myself. Andrew Corsi, who was here, you might remember him. He's just retired. Sadly, he's got MS. He's had a wonderful gift of ministry across the Willesden area, and we said goodbye to him. But what I noticed in the service was that once we'd read the scripture, three readings like today, quite long readings like today, at the end of the readings we waited, and Andrew said, let's reflect on the words that God has given. Because this is God's living word to us. It brings us life that so that we are saved. Godliness with contentment is great gain. And so if we do not really pursue godliness, it's hardly surprising that we live a life of constant discontent. Let me give you one characteristic of discontent. It's constant restlessness. Restlessness with our heart. Restlessness with our mind. The only way we can really keep our life organized is by constantly keeping busy. Some of us here keep our lives constantly busy because it's a way of coping. Because we've never really discovered the value of true prayer. And we've never realized what it really means to rest in the scriptures and allow God to speak to us. So we live a life of constant restlessness and of discontent. And sometimes it just goes on for the whole of our life. It can last for decades. If you want to be content today, you need to pursue what it means to be godly. That means a life of prayer. That means a life rooted in the scripture. That means a life of compassion. Unlike the rich man here who literally day by day would have stepped over the beggar at his door. He didn't kick him. He didn't stop him having food from the table. He had some bread. He didn't condemn him. He just ignored him. He had no place for him. As far as the rich man went, he didn't exist. There was no compassion. One of the great hallmarks of a life of holiness and godliness is that it constantly reaches out. It is there for the other, and it is constantly seeking out the neighbor who needs compassion. For our own age, I wonder how we might be judged today in relation to things like Gaza. Some of us just ignore it. And what is going on in our world this morning, maybe, which doesn't even come into our frame of reference. We use our faith maybe to give us some comfort and reinforce our lifestyle, but there are so many things going on in our world that we don't even begin to think about. We're in some ways like the rich man, just having no regard at all for this person who sits at his door, doesn't really exist. That's the sin. I went to see the bishop with Barbara on Friday. And after quite a long conversation, we came back through Wembley, went to Costco. I was struck, first of all, by its busyness, the streets of Wembley, the stark buildings that have just shot up in the last decade that I didn't even know were there. And to me, the place seemed in some ways godless, distracted, frenetic, busy, occupied, but with no content. It was like a metaphor for our modern life, restless. And we stopped and prayed. We want to pursue godliness because we know that godliness will bring us contentment and it will relieve us of our restlessness. And we pray from that place that we will have compassion and see the needs of our neighbor and be able to reach out. I'll tell you what that means for Barbara and myself. It means that on the evening, say after 9 o'clock, everything has been settled. We've had supper. So often we would just listen to the TV. We would scroll to see what was available and whether we wanted it or not, and often nothing of any interest at all. So switch the TV off. And then what do? We pray. We pray because we want to pursue godliness. So, couples here, when was the last time you prayed together in your home? If you are restless today with the things that are coming your way, something sometimes in life just things come sideways. We've had news this week that comes sideways and we don't know what to deal with it. It surprises us, it shocks us, it gives us an anxiety and it makes us more restless. We need to pray because godliness with contentment is great gain. So when do you pray together? And for those of you at home by yourselves, when do you pray and give space and open the scriptures? Because it says in the gospel, it says, I've sent them Moses and the prophets and that was enough. It's enough. He's given us enough. And if you want to live in the light of eternity, this rich man, he didn't live in the light of eternity. If you want to live in the light of eternity, he's given us enough, it says. Restless, anxious, uncertain, frenetic. Have things come sideways that have disturbed you and you don't know how to deal with them? Are you worried about your children and their future? Do you want contentment? Then you need to perceive godliness. It's why you were made. It's why you were made. It's your purpose for being here. The big stories of our universe is that it's all meaningless and there is no ultimate purpose. That's a big story that people have bought into, but I can tell you it will not give you any contentment. And the other great story is that there is purpose, and there's a reason why you are here, and the reason there is something rather than nothing, and we've encountered love in all that we see and do, and the beauty of the creation is because God has made it and designed it, and the universe is a set-up job. And you are made for a purpose. That's the other big story. The wonderful thing is if you pursue that story and you commit yourself to godliness of knowing the God who made you through prayerfulness and the scripture and the gathering together and the breaking of bread, you can be content. To finish, there are cultural Christians. A lot of us have encountered cultural Christianity. We've been brought up in it. It's what we do. But the problem with cultural Christianity is like a reflex. It's not thought through. We haven't necessarily chosen out of a free will to follow Christ. It's a reflex. It's cultural. It's what I knew when I was at home, maybe in another country before I came to UK. It's what I was brought up in my family. It's cultural. But the thing that will give us contentment is not cultural Christianity, but committed Christianity that comes from a heart relationship that doesn't come secondhand, but it comes from a heart relationship of knowing God. And then you can find contentment in your work life, in your family, in your home, when you sleep at night, in the workplace, in your going out and coming in the choices that you make, you can find true contentment. Because you know him. You know him. And you recognize that the scripture is supported and important in your life, and prayer is important because God has spoken, and we can say amen. God has spoken, and we can say amen. We can hold it. So pursue godliness. Godliness with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing into the world, it says, and we take nothing out. I pray that we will discover true contentment, which comes from knowing God. Amen.
Let us pray for the church and the world, and let us thank God for his goodness. Lord God, help your worldwide church be a place of love and unity. May your people be united and love one another. Help us all to listen well and put our differences aside for your glory. We lift to you all around the world who are persecuted for their faith, for whom life can be dangerous by simply following you. We pray for those who may be struggling with their faith, those who do not know you, and those whom you are calling, but for whom the next step feels like a challenge. We pray that they will all be aware of your presence with them, guiding and leading them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We remember those who cry out for peace as they work in their communities and across the world to end conflict. We pray for those who speak up against systems of power as they seek to transform economics and politics for the good of all. We pray for the leaders of all nations. We lift before you the many conflicts around the world. We pray for all who are working hard for peace. We pray that these leaders would put aside their greed and hatred and begin to work for the good of all. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, we thank you for this amazing world that you created. We know that we have not been good stewards of your world and that things have gone wrong through our neglect and failures. We ask that the warnings we are receiving will be heeded by, and all people will work together to reverse the damage that has been done. We bring before you all of those who are suffering because of climate change and areas of environmental damage. We pray and thank you for the international organizations that work hard to support and provide aid to those in need. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, we pray for those in any sort of need. Help us not to hold on to the blessings you have given us, time, energy, love, and money, but to give to others what we can, where we can, so that all kinds of needs can be met. Help us also to be honest with ourselves and with one another. Give us the courage to speak out when we're struggling and to ask for help and prayer when we're in need. Give us the courage to seek you in all that we may do, and may we do for your glory. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious God, we pray for all those who are sick, that you may guide and strengthen them through their illness. We pray also for those who care for the sick, those engaged in the caring professions, and for family members who look after loved ones, and especially for children who care for parents. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, we pray for all who mourn, whether that loss is recent or not. We know that grief does not follow a timeline, and that our hearts are changed when we lose someone we love. Loving Father, we all have people and situations that lay heavy on our hearts. In a moment of silence, we bring these before you, placing them in your loving care. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, we have brought before you our prayers. We thank you for all the blessings and gifts you lavish on us. In the weeks ahead, help us to remember your presence with us and help us to serve you in all that we do and say. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.